Today on the Whole Person podcast, we're going to talk about what it means to be a person who wants to grow individually through the idea of biblical personal growth. I don't know if you've heard of that term before. It's a term I've kind of self-made up because I've never heard it before. You've heard of personal growth, right? And you hear a lot of good ideas, but the reality is not all personal growth ideas are actually good ideas. And a lot of good things that are spoken out there actually stem from biblical principles. So today we're going to be talking about what it means to add biblical personal growth to your life, not just spiritual, but biblical. And so today I have a new friend who is an international motivational speaker and consultant. He works a lot with younger men who need to figure out a little bit more of their way of life. And so today I'm excited to have Ahmad Vitel onto the show. So Ahmad, how are you?
I'm great. Thank you for having me on.
Well, to kick it off right away, in life, we have many choices on where we gather information from. And there's a saying by Jim Rohn, you're the average of the five closest people in your life. I also believe that those people can be individuals that you learn and study from, whether it be online or through books. And so let me ask you this. Why would you add the Bible as one of those sources for not just spiritual growth, but personal growth? And how would you use it to do that?
You know, that's a great question. And I'll actually double down on that coming up through my career, definitely my late 20s, early 30s. Because if I flip this camera around, you'll see a library full of books. The Think and Grow Rich, How to Win Friends and Influence People, Inspire Destiny, Richest Man in Babylon, all those books and many more are on my shelves right now. And I realized that the Bible was one of the books I brought into rotation during that time. But now, I would say in the past, let's say 2 to 5 years, I've decided the idea that the Bible should be one of the books. It should be the book. It should be the primary. Meaning my first book is that, and everything stems from that. I don't need to learn about marketing. I don't need to learn about sales. I don't need to learn about, ethics and morals from other books. And the Bible needs to be the foundation. And whereas I always read the Bible, it never was like, okay, I start here and then everything comes from that. Because as I started diving in more and working with the ministry I'm in now and at the new church I'm at now, it's not that I was doing things wrong, but I wasn't doing them in order. And so now the Bible is the primary book, which means everything stems from that, meaning the foundation is there. And it's like, okay, then I can seek from there and seek other resources. So the Bible should absolutely be the firm foundation to which you live life. I mean, if we want to go to scripture, it says seek first the kingdom, not seek first the stuff, not seek first the degrees, not seek first all these other things, seek first the kingdom, and I will add all these things unto you. And when I was reading that scripture, I'm like, I get it, but did I get it? And so obviously I was missing a couple of pieces in there, and I'm glad I've grown up from there.
For those that are listening, let me tell you why I believe that the Bible is the foundation to which all truth derives from, even in literature. Essentially, the Bible is a library of other books that have been compiled over time as literature. What's so unique is that in the Bible, there are over 65,000 cross-references within itself. Meanwhile, written by many, many different authors who might have not had the ability to know about cross-referencing within the scripture. At least in the New Testament, they did. But in the Old Testament, it wasn't so much so because it was currently being written. It's the first of its kind of a hyperlink. And before that, there wasn't much literature in general. So we have a pile of written letters of which all stories and all truth actually derived from. Before there was Shakespeare, there was the Bible. Before there was Galileo and other scientific people, there was the Bible. And so the Bible is the reason why I choose to use it as a tool of personal growth, because it's the tool and it's the truth of which all things are founded on. That being said, how do we make the Bible a part of our everyday life, going from something that feels inconsistent to consistent?
You know, I think it's just discipline, and it's a choice, and it needs to turn into a habit, right? When I'm working with my young people, I'm like, man, I'm having a hard time reading the Bible every day. And I'm like, all right, start with a scripture, start with a chapter, start with something to where it creates the habit. It's just like, you know, saving money. I have a hard time saving money. Well, save $5 at a time and then increase from there, right? But when it comes to the Bible, when you realize not only the importance of it, but as stated, the foundation, now you treat that as any other things that are foundational of life. I don't know, air, food, water, shelter, right? When the Bible becomes that for you, then you realize it's not something that's like, it's not on your to-do list. It is the thing to be part of your life. You get up in the morning, you have a routine. Typically, people go into the restroom, they brush, shower, whatever. The Bible should precede all of that. I like to look at the Bible as the second I wake up, I'm waking up because my Father gave me life. Therefore, the first thing I must do is give thanks for that. And that includes the Bible, that includes my devotional time, that includes my prayer time. And for me, that's the first 15 to 20 minutes of my day. Every day involves that. Gratitude, Bible's open, devotional's open. Thank you, God, for this moment. Thank you for this. Thank you for all of these different things. And so the Bible does need to be part of your daily life.
So like, how do you use it as a tool?
How do I use it as a tool? Well, I mean, the wisdom is throughout the word, all over the word. No matter what you're looking for, when you're looking for an answer, you know, and obviously the internet is a great source for that. There's definitely different resources if you're looking for a specific thing you're dealing with, you can go find resources to be able to find exactly what you're needing and the scriptures you're needing to be able to help you through that. But I think in addition to the Bible being the source and the tool for you, I think it has to go in conjunction with prayer. Because after you come out of reading it, I think you need to go into practice of praying to your Father. I think that the two not only go hand in hand, but they are one. That you bring the two together.
Yeah. You know, something that I've learned in my life when it comes to my devotional time with God, I've made it an obligation or a Christian duty for a lot of my life. And it's a box that I try to check mark off daily. And if I didn't do it, then I'd feel bad or guilty. But then there's a point where it goes from a duty of a religious heart to being something who you are, and it comes out of you. And that just comes with time. It comes with humility. And then it also comes with grace, where you're not judging yourself based off of works and performance, but out of acceptance and relationship. And so for those of you who are moving in from this part of a religious obligation to relational living with Jesus, I say start by accepting grace in your life for not being perfect, for not living up to reading the Bible daily. Okay, give yourself grace. And then just work towards spending time with God, like our friend said, every single day. And through this process, you will become so more wise in your decision-making. You will have a spirit of what I like to call discernment, because you are more familiar with the scriptures. And when this happens, you become more sensitive to God's leading through the Holy Spirit, and it helps in that decision-making process because the scripture is living and active and God breathed. And the more we spend time with God, the more we become transformed into his image, which is going back to that Jim Rohn quote that we talked about. You're the average of your five closest friends. By spending time with Christ in the presence of God, your character will naturally default to that over time. Doesn't mean you're perfect, but it shifts. And so, Ahmad, tell me, going back to using the Bible to living a life of significance, you use the word, there's a lot of wisdom in it. It's really easy to read the Bible and not get stuff from it. How does someone go from just reading the Bible and it being words on paper to actually coming alive for them in their heart and in their mind?
Intentionality and sensitivity and discernment are some words that come up in that sense. When you go into the Bible, like you said, if you go into it with a checklist or a checkbox, it's just like, okay, you know, that duty is done. When you're going and saying, you know, Father, speak to me. Yeah, give me what I don't even know I need.
Yeah.
Right. I've added that's part of my prayers. Like, you know, thank you, you know, the faith in what's unseen. Thank you for what I don't even know that I need right now. But I know you can provide it because you are the great provider for me. And so I think the intentionality of going into it almost like not really like a conversation, but go into it with an open mind and say, you know, Father, reveal to me what it is I'm to know today in this moment in my life, because you're all knowing. I am simply, you know, being a representative of you in this time. And I'm reading your word. And it's like, it's almost like you're reading to understand and like to be part of your DNA, not to be like, oh, I need sales help, so I'm going to go read a sales book, or I'm dealing with depression, so I'm going to get depression help. But go into it and say, Father, you know what I need. Reveal to me in the scriptures I'm reading today, in the quiet time I'm having today, in the prayer time, reveal to me. So when you're going into the word, you're going into it with an open conversation and allowing God to speak to you instead of you making requests, if that makes sense. Yeah. To where you're open to, again, that which you don't know. You obviously there's certain things we do know that we need in our life, right? But there could be a challenge that you're coming up on that you don't know is about to happen. But you now are equipped. When you spend time in the word will equip you to deal with so many things going on in the world. It's not going to stop said things, but you used the word earlier that was very profound, which is grace. Not only grace towards yourself, but just grateful that grace has been just been given to you to where when you go out and deal with things, you take on battles in a way that you're strengthened. You're strengthened spiritually, you're strengthened mentally, because you're like, I'm not fighting this battle alone. And that's what the word does. The word equips you for all of the things that are going on in a world where many times you'll be under attack and you are geared up. You're loaded. You got your armor. You got all the things you need to be able to go out and do what God is calling you to do, but in a way that maybe you don't quite know. But when you stay in the word and the word becomes flesh, it becomes part of who you are and not something to do. You're just more equipped to live a greater life and be fulfilling in that regards.
Yeah. So as a motivational consultant, what are some of the things that you find that men need in their own journey of biblical personal growth?
First and foremost, obviously, they need prayer. They need God in their life, obviously, as the foundation. But what I find they need more than anything is fulfillment and purpose. A lot of guys are, you know, and unfortunately society has taught them to just exist instead of live, you know, just go through and, you know, be in the line with everyone else, follow the ways of the world. instead of, you know, charting your own path and putting yourself in a position where you can truly be a servant to the people. My mind shifted a bunch when I met a mentor who was like, whom are you serving? It's like the question comes up, not so much what can I get or what can I receive, but whom can I serve? Can you serve the greatest number of people and provide something for them that's going to make their lives better? That is fulfillment. And a lot of young men are in a place now where they're always just taught to do things, but they're never taught to think for themselves. And I like to put opportunities in front of them to not only think for themselves, but say, hey, what do you want to become? Have you sat down, you know, and put some things on paper? A lot of lack of planning. Guys don't write stuff down. Just sort of going through the motion, or someone told them they should do this and that. So I would say purpose and fulfillment and just connecting with God on a deeper level is some of the primary things that I deal with the second I sit down with those guys across from me in our meetings.
So for a guy who doesn't know their purpose, thus not having fulfillment, what is one step that someone can take? Or actually, you know what, just give a few steps because people are at different stages. What are some of the mm-hmm. few steps that someone can take towards purpose and fulfillment?
One of the steps I like to do definitely in the discovery process is I have them get a pad, you know, old school pad. Guys, remember these.
The legal pad. Pads.
Oh, yeah. The legal pad is your friend. And I have to take that and have them draw a line down the middle. I put on the top what's good here. And on the left side, I want them to write down, yes, yes, yes. The development, yes. Let's make a movement to where young men across the world keep a legal pad next to them at all times. I have them write, I put a line down the middle at the top. I put what's good here. And I'm going to use a kind of strong word, but it still is suitable for your podcast here. But I want you to write on the left side how many ways your life sucks to where it's totally terrible. I want you to write down all the ways where you think that everything is bad. Because typically the reason why somebody's in a rut is because it's too much stuff going on and they think that like there's no good in their lives. It's just everything's bad and I don't know where to go. And it's like, you know, kind of like when somebody deals with when they have too much debt, right? And it's just like, I don't know how I'm ever going to pay this off. Well, like it's debts in life. And so I have them write all that down. And I have them take that pad and I have them stash it away for at least a day. A day is probably good. And you go on about your day or whatever. And throughout the day, I want you to just sort of be in a pray without ceasing sort of moment. Just opening up, just allowing the voice to speak to you, you know, just reveal something to me that I don't know. And I just want you to just detach from that list. And on the other side of that list, when you come back to it after a day, after a weekend, however long your time, I mean, I always say the minimum is 4 hours, you know, if somebody's in a hurry, but you really do want that time to really unpack that. Because remember, you basically just threw up, right? It's just junk all over the place. And on the other side, when you come back into it, you take time in prayer before you pray. It's like you pray over the list. And then you come out of that and you look at the list and you look at everything on the left side. And I want you to write on the other side why that happened to you that you think is terrible. Why is that a great moment or a blessing in your life? What it forces you to do is it forces you to think about what you became because of that. What's something that, what was the end result of that situation? Whether it was a divorce, whether it was a death in the family, whether it was a job loss, whether it was some other tragedy, whether it was a car wreck, whatever it is. I want you to write on the other side why that moment was a good moment and why it created in you a new you who now can do newer and great and amazing things. And what ends up happening, man, on the cool, you either find out that what happened to you was a great moment in life, or you look down and say, why is this person even on my list? I haven't spoken to them in 10 years. They're not really a factor anymore. So why are they taking real estate in my house, in my mind? And so at that point in time, you pray over the name and then you release it. It's over. Meaning like no longer are we going to have this person taking ministry. It's almost like whatever you need to do to forgive that person, love them and bless them and move on is what needs to happen. Or a situation, regardless of what it is. But if it's something that like, why are you still thinking about this at this time? And so that's a good place to start, because once you can unpack the junk, then you can start to put something else in there. It's like, It's like going to the grocery store when you haven't cleaned out your refrigerator. You don't know what you need, and B, there's no room for anything new. See, a lot of times we try to say, oh, there's something new I need to do in my life. Or do you just need to get rid of the junk that's there to leave room for God to make moves? Right? Mm-hmm. It's almost like when people say you go to God and you pray, it's like you're just sitting up there giving a laundry list of things. And it's just like, are you going to allow God to speak to you? Are you going to allow him to pour into you? Or are you just going to just give him the list of the 97 things I need to move forward with my life? God bless me in Jesus' name. No. Are you going to allow the still small voice to speak to you? And so this what's good here allows you to dump the junk, addition by subtraction, get the mess out of your head so that you have a clear mind, so that you can think about what the next move is. It could be cluttered with so much junk. It's like the closet in the house. And that's an exercise I have somebody do with, have people do as well. You know what? Start with one box. You know, that closet, the one you keep throwing stuff into and just completely disregard it, and you just want to ignore it. Think about that, and think about that from a mindset standpoint, right? You got a lot of dirt, got a lot of junk, got a lot of baggage in there, and some of that you need to release. But until you release it, you don't have the opportunity to leave space for God to make moves in your life. And so that would be one of the primary strategies that I would do. And there's so many things that can emerge from that. Because once you release some things, you go through some forgiveness and you forgive yourself. I keep going back to the fact that you are opened up with grace, right? And you just accept that, right? And then you give yourself that, like, you don't beat yourself up over not doing certain things. Well, some of that is just a matter of forgiving yourself, forgiving others, and releasing that, and then coming back and let's start over with a clean slate, with a clean piece of paper, tear that last piece off that has some writing on it, and let's move forward.
Yeah. Well, man, thank you so much for coming onto the show today. How can people connect with you after this?
So ahmadvital.com, ahmardvital.com. That's my website. That's the hub for everything. That is where the books are, where there's some merchandise, videos, and other resources, where you can contact me if you want me to come out to your city, state, or country to do some work. We're doing a lot of great work out here as far as, you know, working with young people, because they are under attack, though they are also part of our revival. So that will be another podcast for another day. But thankfully, they can find me there. I can find me on all the social media platforms at Ahmad Vital. There's no alias or whatever. Ahmad Vital is available at IG and definitely on Facebook as well. Also, for your audience, if they go to booknowwhat.com, they can get a free digital copy. My publisher made that available for those. Put your email address in, you get a digital copy of Now What. It's available on 33 different online bookstores right now. Whichever one is your favorite, I'll go with that. Look forward to hearing from a number of you. Feel free to send me out an email at info@ahmadvital.com. Share your thoughts. If you have a young person in your life who's struggling right now, just shoot me over an email and we'll set something up. Maybe get a 30-minute discovery call going for your audience to be able to help them out through some struggles. Our young people are important, and the bridge to the next generation needs to be built sturdy on a solid foundation. And so want to be part of that process as well. So feel free to reach out to me, and I look forward to hearing from many of you.
Awesome. Thank you so much for coming on to the show today. Take care and God bless.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on.